Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. Tonight's learning is dedicated to Nishmas Avi Moyer of David Tzvi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf was Nazir Daf Nun Dalid. Because I am not able to give the shiur tomorrow live, we're going to do Be'ez Hashem 2 daf tonight b'li neder. Daf Nun Dalid, that's Shabbos' daf, and Daf Nun Hey, that's tomorrow, Sunday's daf. We left off at the top of, at the very top, of Nundalad Amadal. But just to set the table, we got to go back just a couple of lines, just to set the table a little bit. The Gemara in yesterday's daf had presented a machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If you have a bone of, a limb, a full limb, but it's a limb that's less than the size of a barley, and it does not have flesh on it, enough flesh that it would reconstitute and regenerate had it been attached to the body. Rabbi Yochanan said such a limb would not convey tumah, and therefore Nazir would not shave on it. And Reish Lakish said, no, that even though it's, since it's a full limb, Reish Lakish said, it does convey tumah. If everyone agrees it doesn't convey tumas ohel, the question is, does it convey tumas maga, and would a Nazir have to shave on it? Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So the last thing we did was that Reish Lakish said, even though it does not have the size, since it's a full limb, even though it does not have the size of a bone, the size of a barley, usually an etzem kisaor is metame b'mago v'masa, but here, since it's a full limb, even though it's less than an etzem kisaor, it's still metame. And then the Gemara was going to prove it. So first, we brought one long brisa that talks about all the things that are tumas ohel, so that's not related to our proof. So what we're up to right now is the next brisa that actually proves that Tumas Maga applies even to an Aver that is less than the size of an Etzem Kisaor. So let's pick it up from the words. Ve'ilu Gabe Negia. That's what we're up to. Ve'ilu Gabe Negia, which is Ve'ilu Gabe Negia, which is on the second line of Nedam Adav, says the Gemara. Ve'ilu gabe negia, and when it comes to Tumas Maga, right, the first price was about Tumas Oel. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to talk about Tumas Maga. Ve'ilu gabe negia, it's a funny story. I used to be involved in like NCSY, Kiev organization, so these kids would, you know, be coming from, they would talk about negia. So somebody once asked Rav Salvechik about negia. He had never heard the term before. Like one of these kids asked him about it, and he said, oh, you mean like touching Naga Negia Batuma, like Maga Batuma, like touching Karbanos or touching or touching Tuma. That's that Negia Maga. Tumas Maga Mas. That's the only Negia that he knew in terms of Halacha. Anyway, Ve'ilu Gabi Negia. So when it comes to the issue of touching Tuma, I'm remember the Tani we learned in a Brisa. We have another Pasuk. Va'al Hanogea Be'etzim O Bechalol O Bameis O Bekover. So we learn out a different Halacha from each one of these words. It's in Parshas Chukas. We just read it last Shabbos. Be'etzem ze'etzem kisaora. So any bone the size of a barley that conveys tumas maga and masa. Obechalol, well, we're really just talking about tumas maga here. Obechalol, ze'ever hanechlal menachai ve'ein bo lahalos aruka. A full limb that was cut off from a live person, but it does not have enough flesh to regenerate itself. But since it's a full limb, it can, even though it doesn't convey tumas oel, but it does convey tumas Maga. Obamase, that's going to be the important one. Ze aver hanechlam and amase. Now, we already had before a bone the size of a saora, so obviously this aver, the Gemara is going to say, is less than a saora. So you see, a limb that's less than the size of a saora, even if it does not have flesh on it, it conveys tumma. This is Reish Lakish's proof from that line. Obekever, I'm Reish Lakish, ze kever shalifne hadibor. Whoa! Ze kever shalifnei adibor. This is touching a grave or a dead body before the Torah was given. Okay, we'll have to talk about that in a minute. That is a massive discussion, but let's hold off on that for 1 second. But let's first see what the Gemara derives from this. Hai ever min ames heichidami. Now this third case that we said, a limb from a dead body, what's the case? Eat the ispe atzim kisaor. Obviously, if it has already a bone the size of a barley, it can't mean that. Hai no anageba etzim. That was already quoted in case number one. That was the first case. So obviously, it's got to be less than that. It's got to be less than a barley, and nevertheless, the Torah included it. So Rabbi Yochanan's going to reject the raya. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, la'olam de'ispe. Maybe really it's talking about a limb that does have the size of a barley. But the first drasha is to tell me tumas maga, and the second drasha is to tell me tumas maso. V'meinu inyan l'mago, tonight we're in l'maso. If you don't use it for magis or masa, Briskerov has a shtikl Torah. Why does he need a special riboy for masa if you're ready to learn it for maga? But either way, Rabbi Yochanan says it's for you need one for maga and one for masa. Now let's go back to that issue that I skirted over before. Oba kever, Rish Lakish says this is a kever that was before Matan Torah. What? There's a certain Tumas Maga before Matan Torah. We're talking about a Jew before Matan Torah, non-Jew. So let's take this slowly. So there are a number of opinions in Rishonim what this line means. Now, we learned a Gemara in Meseches Yevamos, which probably most of us don't remember, but Mordechai probably does, on Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. We learned a Gemara in Yevamos Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. We learned a Machlokas Rabbi Shimon Chachamim. Does a kever of a goy convey Tumas Ohel? Right? It's Machlokas, two opinions in Yevamos. Does the kever of a non-Jew convey Tumas Ohel? Chachamim say, a kever of a non-Jew conveys Tumas Ohel. However, Rabbi Shimon learns out from the pasuk Adam ki yamas ba'ol atem kruyim Adam pasuk in Yecheskel va'atein soni tzomersi Adam atem. So we learn out that Klal Yisrael is called Adam and the nations of the world are not called Adam, and therefore Zos haTorah Adam ki yamas ba'ol. So Rabbi Shimon learns that there is no tumas ol by the kever of a non-Jew. So the Gemara there in Yevamos asks, what about in Midyan? Kol horig nefesh chonagei b'chalal tischatu. Sounds like goyim, that a non-Jewish body, right? In Midyan, they all became tamei from Midyan. There was non-Jews. So the Gemara answers two answers. One, maybe Jews died in the war. However, the Rabbanan say it's ridiculous because the pasuk says clearly nobody died. So that's difficult. So Ravina, let's remember that name. Ravina gives a different answer. He says, even according to Rabbi Shimon, that Goyim do not convey Tumah, it's only that Goyim don't convey Tumas Oel. Because by Tumas Oel it says Adam. But as far as Maga, Umasa, even a non-Jewish body conveys Tumas Maga and Masa. Okay, so now, based on that background, so how do we understand this line in our Gemara? Okay, so why does Gemara need to include from a special pasuk that I kever before Matan Torah is Matame B'maga? What do you mean? Before Matan Torah, even the Jews, I mean, at the very least, we were certainly like non-Jews, right? Jews were like non-Jews before Matan Torah. If you want to make that argument, we were like non-Jews. So both Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, according to Ravina, the way Ravina understood Rabbi Shimon, they both agree that a non-Jewish kever conveys Tumas Maga. So therefore, even before Matan Torah, a grave before Matan Torah also should convey that to him. So why do I need a special pasuk? Why do I need a special pasuk? So the Rishonim gives different answers. Tosfos the Ramaskel, you see the second Tosfos on the page? So Tosfos says, in the name of the Riva, that we need this Riva both according to Chachamim and both according to Rabbi Shimon, because when the Torah says Adam kiyamas ba'oel, you would have thought that's only someone who's going to die after Parshas Chukas was taught. But the people who died before Parshas Chukas was taught, so even if they die after Matan Torah, but if they died before Parshas Chukas was taught, so you might have thought, even before, you might have thought that there's no Tuma. So we needed the pasuk to teach me that even before Matan Torah, there is Tumas Maga. The Machlok is, what about Tumas Oel? But Maga, this pasuk teaches me there was. That's Tosfos. The Rosh gives another answer. Really, you only need this pasuk for the people who argue on Ravina and hold that according to Rabbi Shimon, the graves of Goyim are not Matami even B'Maga. According to Ravina, you're right, you don't need this pasuk. But if you argue on Ravina, we said the other opinion held that no, that bodies of Goyim aren't Matami even B'Maga. And that's why the Gemara had to answer that it was talking about Jews who died by Midyan. And therefore, we need this pasuk to teach me that a kever before Matan Torah is worse than a kever of a guy after the Torah was given, and it's metame b'maga. One last pshat, even though there's many more, one last pshat. The Mefarish explains, like Ravina, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that a kever of a guy is metame b'maga v'masa. And even a kever before the Torah was given, halacha should be that way. But this is actually the source for the words of Ravina. This Gemara, our Gemara, is the source of the words of Ravina. He dashens this din from these words, Oba kever. That's where I learn that a guy, a non-Jewish grave, conveys Tumas Maga. The Achronim don't like this pshat. Fine. One other kasha that the Rishonim ask over here. Since the Brisa teaches me that a kever before Matan Torah, we have this special pasuk, is only for Maga and not for Ohel. So how come the Gemara says in Bava Basra that Rabbi Bina delineated the graves of Maras and Machpelah? Wow. What do you mean, Maras and Machpelah? So you only delineate where the graves are for Tumas Ohel. Maras and Machpelah shouldn't have Tumas Ohel. Okay. A lot of discussion about that. Okay, let's continue back in the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Okay. Now, we learned in the Mishnah that a Nazir who's Tame with one of the Tumas that were listed in the Mishnah, he sprinkles the blood on the third, he sprinkles from the holy water and the Paraduma water on the day number 3 and day number 7. And then it says, when does he start recounting his Naziris? It says, Ad Sheyitar. It also said, Mevi Karbonosov, but we'll see. The Gemara seems to not have had that Girsa. So Yubayilu, they wanted to know, Hadiktani Ad Sheyitar, this that we say that you can restart counting the Naziris after Tuma. You could restart, when do you restart counting? From day 7 or day 8? Bishvikai, Ad Ovid Harav Shemesh, those four words, Ad Ovid Harav Shemesh, Tosus erases those words. Tosus and the Rush both erase those words. Others have the text. The Mefarish has that text, but they erase them. The Gemara reads a lot simpler without those words, because if you say Adavid Harav Shemesh, and then they're both on day number 8, what's really the difference? Whether you can count them day number 8 in the morning or after you bring the Karbanos, we'll see. Yibailu. Hadik Tani Yachid B'Shvikai. Again, you're going to go to the mikvah on day 7. You got to bring Karbanos on day 8. When do you start recounting the Naziris? From day 7 or day 8. So, Ibailu, Hadik Tani Ad Sheyitar. The mission says you could start counting when you get pure. B'shvikai? And erase the words Ad David Harav Shemesh. Umani Rebbe Lezer. This is going like Rebbe Lezer, who said already after you go to the mikvah on day number 7, you could already start counting in his ears. Odoma B'shminikai. Maybe it's on the 8th. Umay Ad Sheyitar. What does it mean until you get pure? Ad Sheyavi Karbonosav. Until you're completely pure by bringing the Karbonos. Umanu. Umani Rabbanani, that's not going like Rabbi Elezer, it's going like Chachamim, who say that you don't start counting in Naziris until after day number 8, till you bring the Karbanos on day number 8. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaMelech Shalom Yivarech. Tashma, coming here, proof to this, Midiktani Seifa. The next Mishnah, which is going to be on Amud Beis of tonight's daf, Maschil Umonem Miyad. So there, where there's no Karban, you count right away. Haresha Maya Chidaji Karbonosav. Sounds like in the Resha you gotta wait till day number 8. Umani Rabbani Daman Nazir Tahara Shmini Lochaila. That you can't start counting your Nazir Tahara until day number 8. Next Mishnah. Now, so the last Mishnah talked about all the Tumas that a Nazir would have to do the whole Tumah process. Now we have Tumas that you are Tumah, but they don't make a Nazir go through the whole Tumah process. You do become Tame, so you can't count those days as days of Tumah, but you also don't reject the earlier days. You don't reject, but you don't count those days. So just purify yourself, and then everything will be great. And Dr. Joe forgot to remind me that I didn't wish everybody a good vach. So David Yeshua, good vach. Shoshone from Amherst, good vach. Hannah Chenach, good vach. John, a good vach. Mordechai, a good vach. Gershon Eitan, a good vach. Dr. Joe, Yitzchak Aryeh. Tzvika, good vach, says the Mishnah. Aval, It's like a continuation of the last Mishnah. So those tumas in the last one, the Nazir brings karbanos and he rejects the whole first days and it totally messes everything up. However, the following eight tumas do not ruin the count. And you don't bring karbanos. Aval haschachos. Tumah under the trees. We'll discuss what this means in a minute. Vahapros, tumah under the rocks that jut out from a fence. We'll explain. Both of these cases, simple pshat is that it's a suffix tumah. We'll see. Or ubeis hapras, that's tumah derabbanan. Ve'eretz ha'amim, also tumah derabbanan. All of us are in the chutzlaritz, so we're all tummy tumas eretz ha'amim. Vahagolel vahadofek, the tombstone and the stones that held up the tombstone. Tosis, Pshat, name Rabbi Natam. Rashi says differently. Rashi says it means the top of the coffin and the sides of the coffin. Urviyastam, right? The last Mishnah said a chatzi lugdam, another is megalech, but a reviyastam, another is not megalech. V'oel rova atzam, it's a quarter of a kav of bones. Right? That's tumah d'oraisa, but it does not mess up the nazir. V'kela manogim b'meis. If you touch vessels that touched a dead body, or that are touching a dead body, we'll see in a minute. Uvime sifro uvime gamro. The days that a mitzora, is counting the rest of his days, all the Rishonim Esther should have said Bimei Gamro before Bimei Sifro. A little bit strange. The days that he's finishing off his Nazirus outside the Machaneh, I'm sorry, the days he's finishing off his Tzaras outside the Machaneh, Eitan Aftali Meir, great to see you. The days that he's finishing his Tzaras outside the Machaneh, and the days that he's counting, once he comes back in the Machaneh, he still has to stay outside his house for another 7 days. That's the Bimei Sifro. So during those days, it doesn't count, but it also doesn't reject. So we're talking about a Nazir who became a Tzaras in the middle of his Naziris. He has to be outside and count the days. So these days don't reject the previous Naziris, like Tumas Meis. Al elu on all these things, ein a nazir migalech. All these tumas do not cause the nazir to shave. Umaza b'shlishi b'shvi. But you do have to sprinkle the water on day number 3 and day number 7. Ve'ein ososer es hakodmin. And it does not reject the previous days of naziris. Umaschil amona miyad. You start counting right away on day number 7. Ve'karbon ein lo. And there is no carbon. Ve'emes amru. The Mefarsh understands this to mean it's a halacha l'moshe misinai be'emesam halacha l'moshe misinai yimei hazav v'hazava, the days of hazav yimei hezgeiro shel mitzora, and the days that a kohen locks him away but he's not tameh yet, harei elu olon lo. That's even a bigger chiddush. Those days, not only do they not reject the naziris, but those days actually count for the naziris. Okay, before we get to the Gemara, let's discuss a whole bunch of stuff here. Let's discuss a whole bunch of stuff. Number one. So we said the schachos are the trees. So what do you mean, tumah that's under a tree? Why is that not legit tumah? What's the case over there? Massive discussion. So the Gemara Maseches Nidan Samaches says that the tumah under the tree is not tumah d'oraisa, because it's not a complete oel. Machlokas are showing him what this means. Why is it not tumas oel midoraisa? Toisvis on Amid Beis, Dibur Maschil Elon. Tosis on Amid Beis, Dibur Maschil Elon. It's the third Tosis on the page. Why? Sha'anaf from Rechok Mizemizeve, Ein Bahem Poseach Tefach. Tosis says the branches are far away from each other and the branches do not have a tefach of thickness. Ah, if it doesn't have a tefach of thickness, so then it's not Tumadoi Raisa.
We're counting on the branch, the wood part itself. We're not counting leaves.
Correct. The branches.
According to Rabbanan.
Yes. And therefore, even if there's vadai kezayis of tumah under one of the branches, it does not convey tumas ol midoraisa because the branches are not a tefach wide, and the minimum shear of an ol has to be a tefach. So, but the rabbis were gozer, even though it's less than a tefach, the rabbis were afraid maybe you'll come to go under it where it does have a tefach, so the rabbis decreed tumah derabbanan. That's the opinion of Tosfos. The Rambam has a whole different pshat. The Rambam says, no, really it does have a tefach under the branch. But the branches of a tree are rickety, they're shaky. They're not strong enough to hold a roof on top of them. And therefore, it does not have chashivas of Ol Midoraisa. And he holds the mission, even if it does have a tefach, nevertheless, it does not bring Tumah Doraisa. Even if you for sure went under one of the branches that does have a tefach, and it did have Tumah underneath it, nevertheless, it doesn't be Tumah Doraisa because it's not strong enough. Rabbeinu Peretz says the third pshat. You're not sure whether you went under the right branch or not. Even if you go under, so he says, if you go under all the branches of the tree, then it would be Tumah Doraisa. But you knew there was Tumah under one of them, but you don't know which one you went under. And therefore, that's why it's Suffolk Tumah. Rashi and Mard Kutten has a fourth pshat. We don't know that Bevada there was Tumah under this tree or not. It was a makom tsanuahu. People usually bury people under these places, but you don't know for sure that anyone was buried there at all. Fine, four different explanations have shown him what in the world is Tumah of Schachos. Now, good, now we learn one word in the Mishnah. Now, what's praos? Stones? Similar kind of machlokas. So, the Gemara Maseches Nida Samaches says, if you go under these stones jutting out from a fence, you're not Tumah Midoraisa. Why? It's not an Ol Gomer. Same machlokas. Tosfos says, there's Vadai Tumah under one of the stones, but you don't know which stone. So, if you go under one of the stones, you're tar because it's a suffix tumah b'rishus harabim. But the chacham word goes in tumah under these stones. And if you go under all the stones, then you'd be tumah midoraisa. Because certainly you went under the one that has it. So according to Tosfos, schachos is different than praos. By schachos, it's not a tefach. And therefore midoraisa, there's no tumah at all, even if you go under all of them. But by praos, there is a tefach, and therefore if you go under all of them, you would be Tumah Midoraisa. But if you go under one of them, you don't know which one, so then you're not Tumah Midoraisa, because it's Suffolk Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim, Sfeiko Tahor. The Rambam holds the same as the Shita before, that these stones were very rickety, and they weren't strong enough to hold up a roof, and therefore they're not considered to be Oel Midivrei Torah. Even if you go, according to him, even if you go under all of them, it's only Midrabbanan. Rashi and Mard Katan also says that there's no difference between Schachos and Praos. Both of them are talking about that we don't know that there was Vadai Tumah at all. Okay, let's continue. A Beis HaPras. What's a Beis HaPras? A Beis HaPras, that's a field that had a grave in it and it got plowed or the grave got lost. We don't know exactly where it is. The Rishonim have a debate. Why is a Beis HaPras called a Beis HaPras? The Rambam says the tumah spreads out in the whole field. Pras is like prisa. You spread it out. Like you spread a bedspread. Lefros sedinim. That's why it's called a beis hapras. This week's parsha. Vayifros es ha'ol. Wow. Daf yomi coincidence. Moshe Rabbeinu spread out. Beis hapras. Moshe Rabbeinu spread out. He spread the Mishkan. He spread the roof on the Mishkan. That's what the Rambam says. Wow. Unklus explains Uparas Yas Parsa. Rashi neither says it means something cut up, because the mace, that's what I always understood. Beis HaPras, because the mace got cut up by the plow, so all the bones got scattered throughout the whole field. And that's also, Tosfos says like that, that the bones of the mace got spread out throughout the entire field. Tosfos has a third pshat, Parsa. Steps. Parsas Ragli Adam Nimtsaos Milelech Shem Pnei HaTumah. Right, people don't want to walk there. Okay. Let's continue. Golo and Dofig, I said to you the Machlokas Rashi. And Tosfos already. So let's... Now, Kelim HaNogim B'Meis. What was this case of Kelim HaNogim B'Meis? Vessels touching the dead body. The Ravid writes in Hilchas Naziris in his commentary on the Rambam, this din that if you touch kelim that are touching a dead person, that you're a tummy for 7 days, that's only if the kelim are still touching the dead person. However, if you touch the kli after it's no longer touching the dead person, then you're only tummy till the night. And the Kesef Mishnah writes, even the Rambam agrees to this halacha, not only the Ravid. However, the Ravid understood the Rambam held that no, that even if it's not touching the dead body, you're still tummy 7. And the Meiri also understood the Rambam that way. The Tosas Yonder writes, even according to the Ravid, you don't have to have the kalim touching the mace, only a wooden or a glass kli, but obviously a metal kli. Even the Ravid would agree that if you touch it, even if it's no longer touching the mace, you're tummy for 7 days because of the din of cherev harei kachala that we had in yesterday's daf, that a metal kli retains the same tumma as the dead body. That was a special halacha that we learned yesterday. Oh, now hold on a second. This tumma is tumma doraisa, no? So how come a nazir doesn't shave for this, even though it's tumas meis doraisa? Nevertheless, the nazir doesn't shave because the Torah says v'chiyomus meis olav. It's only tumma of the mace itself and not a kli that touches the mace. So it says Tosis the Yomaschel v'kelim, a one line Tosis towards the bottom of the page. Take a look. V'kelim on the mace. The chiyomus mace olav amar Torah. It's got to be mace, not kelim. Fine. Okay. Al elu inaz migaleach, right? Mazav shlishi v'shvi. Okay, fine. Gemara. Okay, fine. Enough talking, Kamenetsky. Let's learn some Gemara. Here we go. Says the Gemara. Ve'elu heinas chachos. Ilan ha-mesach al-arts. It's a tree that's covering over the land, and there's tumma under one of the branches. Peros ha-yosim in ha-geder. Stones that come out of the fence. Now, ve'eretz ha-amen. We talked about in the Mishnah the tumma of eretz ha-amen. That everybody in chutz la-arts says tumma eretz ha-amen. Yibaylehu. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the nature of Tumas Eretz Amim? When the rabbis decreed Tuma on Eretz Amim, is that Tuma only on the land of Eretz Amim, or even in the airspace of Eretz Amim? Is it only on the land or even the airspace? Let's see. Yibaylu, Eretz Amim Misham Avir Gazer Aleh. When we say there's Tuma in Chutz La'aretz, is that the air of Chutz La'aretz has Tuma? Odoma Misham Gusha Gazer Aleh. Or maybe it was the dirt, and you're in Ohel, you're doing Tumas Ohel on the dirt. And the Rishonim explain over here what's going on over here is that if it's the air, they made a decree, it's not really Tumas Mace. It's just because they don't want people going to Chutz La'aretz. So they said, you go to Chutz La'aretz, we're gonna slap you with a Tumah Derabanan. But if it's because of the land, it's because of the Jewish bodies, the dead bodies that are all over the place. And we don't know where they are. So that's the Tumas Eretz Amim Derabanan. Says the Gemara, Tashma, come in here, proof. Umaze, from our Mishnah. Umaze b'shlishi v'shvi. You see, you sprinkled 3 and 7, so it's got to be Tumas Meis. V'iyam is misham avira. If you tell me it's the airspace, it's not Tumas Meis at all. Hazal lamali. It's exeri, you shouldn't go to Chutzlar. It's got nothing to do with dead people. El ha misham gusha. It's a right that it's ol over the gush, over the dirt of the land. Lo lo me malach misham avira. Maybe it's really the airspace. The Chiktani, when the Mishnah says that you need the third and the seventh day, Asha'ara, it's only on the rest of them. But really, on the Eretz Amim, you wouldn't need sprinkling on day number 3 and day number 7. It says, Gemara, Hakanam, Yistabrin, Yutani, V'chelam, Anogim, B'meis. There also, Kelam, Anogim, B'meis, Hani, Kelam, B'nei, Hazayinun. What are you going to tell me? That if you touch a Kli, so you're going to need the sprinkling of the third and seventh, the Kli becomes a Avatum, and you become a Rishon. A Rishon Latumah, you don't get sprinkled on day number 3 and day number 7. So, Elishma Minash Ara must be going on the other cases, but not that one. It must be going on other cases, not that one. Okay, before we end the first daf, Tosus in Dibra Maschil Eretz, it's the fifth Tosus on the page, asks the following question. From Argomar, it sounds like, even if there were gozer on the gush, but if you're mahil, if you're ohel on the gush, you're tameh. But in Maseches Alos, the Mishnah counts Tumas Eretz Amim as a Tumah that's not Metame Ba'oel. Our Gemara says if it's Gush, it is Metame Ba'oel. The Mishnah Alos says it's not Metame Ba'oel. Tosis gives three answers. One, the Mishnah in Alos is referring to Gush from Eretz Yisrael, from Gush from dirt from Chutzlarts that you bring to Eretz Yisrael. Once you bring it to Eretz Yisrael, it no longer has Tumas Oel. Wow. Two, the Gemara says in Shabbos that originally they only would goes there on the dirt, and then afterwards they added Tumas Oel. So the Mishnah in Alos that says there is no Tumas Oel, the Mishnah in Alos was only after the first Gezerah that they only had Tumas Maga to the Gush. And our Gemara is talking about that there's Oel, that was after the second decree. And the third answer is, the Mishnah is talking about a person who just puts his hand over the Eretz Amim. So there wouldn't be Oel. The Chacham weren't Gozer Tuma on you unless your whole body was there, not just the hand. Oh. Okay, so this will end Daf Nun Dalet. Everybody could take a breath. We'll end Daf Nun Dalet. And we will right away start Daf Nun Hey.